We know that the Lord Jesus was a carpenter by trade. Why a carpenter? Why did the Lord choose that trade? Well, as he grew up in his house, in his father's house, that is his stepfather's house, he grew up into that occupation. Why? Because his stepfather was a carpenter. There was a rabbinical saying, it was after Christ's time, but not long after. It was a saying among the rabbis that a man who fails to teach his son a trade teaches him to be a thief. And that saying marked the mindset and the thinking of that age, that it was a father's duty, he failed if he didn't do this duty, to teach his son a trade, to make sure that his son could fend for himself and he would be able to maintain a wife and a family. That was among the most important tasks, responsibilities and duties of a father in that culture. And it was an artisan culture. It was a culture of craft and working with hands in the field, in agriculture, in the vineyards, or in other trades. But one of them was in the area of carpentry or stonecraft. And usually the son took the same trade as the father. That's just the way it was. That's the kind of culture. You're expected to do the same work as your father did. Your father taught you. You watched your father. Your father did it all before you, and you watched him from you were a little child. You watched him and you learned him. That was just the norm. And Joseph, Matthew tells us, whenever Jesus is being spoken about, Matthew tells us that the people are saying, "Is not this the carpenter's son? The carpenter's son." But whenever Mark records it, Mark says, "Is not this the carpenter?" Now, I know the liberals come along, contradictions, contradictions here. But it's the same thing. The carpenter's son, the carpenter. It's the same thing because the son took the trade of the father. That's how they spoke. The writer of the gospel didn't see any difficulty with it. It was part of the culture. It was expected to do what the father did. And Jesus did as his earthly stepfather did. But sometimes he spoke about his heavenly father. He did the works of his heavenly father. He did the trade of his heavenly father. He also did not only what his stepfather did, he also did what his heavenly father did. And he continues to do so. John chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth." Do you see that? The Son watches the Father to do what the Father does. The Father shows the Son what he does, so that the Son can do those very works. Now this again is language to explain the Godhead and the relationship between the Father and the Son, and they're doing the same work together, the same trade, the same abilities. Now God does far more than build a house and cut a window for a home. He creates the world. He raises the dead. He judges the world at the end of time. And the Father has done all of those things through his Son. And so the Lord Jesus is using the language drawn from the practice of the culture. Now, the carpenter in Bible times found his employment in local jobs. Sometimes it would mean traveling. We're not to picture them as having a shop, and everybody came to them. They could do local jobs. It not only involved timber. This word technon, this carpenter, it's not just limited to working with wood and timber. It can be working with stone in the building. In fact, there's very little timber in Israel villages because there's very little forest, very little wood, really. And it was mainly stone, the homes. And so it would have involved working with building. The main aspect of the Lord's work probably would have been the building trade. Just like today, craftsmen and tradesmen, the building trade draws them all in. Wee bit of local work, but it's the building industry. And so they had, this family of Joseph had to be involved in that because there were several sons, we know. Not all would be working in the shop. If there was a shop, it would require travel to larger spheres of work. So most carpenters were involved in the building trade. And the building trade was good in Galilee at the time of Christ. We know that there were at least three fairly major building projects taking place in the land of Israel. In Judah, there was a temple. It was still ongoing. That was a massive project. It was commenced by Herod the Great before Christ was born. And whenever Jesus was 30 years of age, that temple was still in building. There was work sites all over the temple platform. It was going on and on. Whenever they were going to take up stones to stone Jesus, that's probably where they were getting them from the builder parts in the temple. Because there weren't stones just lying around untidily. Remember Jesus said 40 and 6 years was this temple in building. And it wasn't even finished. It was still being built on. In fact, it wasn't finished until shortly before the destruction of the temple by the Romans in AD 70. So that was a massive project in Judah. And there may have been Galileans working down at that. But in Galilee, there were two building projects going on. Two cities were being enlarged and built. Tiberias, a new city, which was eventually to become the capital of Galilee and replacing Magdala. Magdala was the hub of Galilee at that time, but Tiberias was to replace it. Remember Mary Magdalene? She was from Magdala. But at the time of Christ, near to Nazareth, there was a city called Sepphoris, or Sepphori. And it was being much enlarged. It was only about 3 miles from Nazareth. You could walk it in about 50 minutes. It can be visited today, the archaeological remains. It's a very interesting spot. But that city was built by Herod. And it may have attracted carpenters, technons, from round about, Joseph and his sons. It came to be known as the Jewel of Galilee. There's a lot of work went on to it. It was a beautiful place. It was built on a hillside. That's why it was called Zippor. Zippor, because that's a Hebrew word for bird. Zippor, Zippor, the sound that the bird would make. And because it was like a nest on the side, on the hill, it got that name. Tradition teaches us, or says, can't have any value by this, but tradition does say that Mary's parents came from that town. So we know definitely there was a major building project going on at that time from the archaeological remains and from other historic accounts. And the Lord may have been involved in the building trade in that town. And still thinking about the Lord's parabolic teaching, the Lord tied his earthly trade into his spiritual instruction. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 7 how he says, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." This is a very humorous parable. The beam is a wooden plank, a massive bit of timber. You know, having that in your eye would be so ridiculous looking. There would be such a deformity. The plank. And the mote is a shaving. You know, that you do a bit of planing, and there's the shavings, or maybe the sawdust on the ground, the chaff, something light, something that you would expect would get into your eye in the environment. Something would blow about and you would get it into your eye, or off your finger would go into your eye. It would be fairly normal to happen. It's fairly common for Christians to have specks in their eye. But a plank. But the hypocrite is such a person. He's blind, and yet he finds fault for specks and sins. So this is the language of the carpenter, working with timber, working with beams, working in a dusty environment, getting the speck. This is the language the Lord is using.